Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a Dingo and the Baby opener anymore. Like, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. But it is. It's the Mean Green Nation podcast. We're coming to you on podcast delay, as all podcasts do. We are coming off the greatest 5-8 football season that you've ever did see. You've ever seen. There you go. Get my verbs correct. I do speak English. It is native language. And the good news is that we're feeling good. I mean, I think if you talked to us before the season, said, hey, what is your ideal scenario? We're like, well, we go to a bowl game and we go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. That would be great. To do that with only 5 wins is kind of a miracle. So it kind of feels like we stole some things. There's lots to improve on. We're going to talk about it in the next hour or so. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the Mean Green Nation podcast on iTunes. There is a link on the site. You go to the site, click podcast. There's a link there. You click it, and it'll subscribe. If you don't use iTunes, use like Android, something like that, one of those things. Don't forget you can support the site and all the goodness that is provided to you, including some of Aldo's writings, some of Billy Sierra's writings, some of the occasional contributors that we have on Mean Green Nation. It helps Mean Green Nation exist, for one. And then the second thing is, like, maybe some cool things will happen if you subscribe. There's an annual option. It's $30. There's a monthly option. It's $3. Yeah, you save a little money there if you do the math. It works out the same way for me after the fees and whatnot. So consider doing that. I appreciate it if you do. For those of you that have subscribed, I appreciate it. I'm trying to figure out something cool to do that doesn't cost me a whole lot of money and make the whole thing, you know, a wash. I did go to college, so I do know how to figure out a profit and loss statement, I guess. Anyway, let's get to the show. With me, as usual now, Mr. Aldo Albino. You can find him on Twitter.
Hello.
Yeah, you can find you. Where can we find you on Twitter?
Aldo Albino.
Yeah, there it is. Clever name, this guy.
gotta have my brand.
I'm the kind of guy, like, when I create a new screen name, I see that as, like, an opportunity to do something different. So I have different screen names for, like, the different places that I go. You know, mostly. Some of my friends, they just always use their name. So, like, when I even search, I don't even bother asking. I'm like, hey, what's your screen name here? I just, okay, yeah, there it is. Same thing. Always the same. Are you that way? Is that how you do it?
Well, when I first, sort of, it kind of depends. When I first started on Twitter, you know, I kind of did a little bit of research. Then you come across those Forbes articles that you have to use your own name to make sure you lock down your brand or lock down your handle. You know, but I wanted something clever. But then I decided I'm lazy. I'm just going to use this. And in hindsight, it would have been better to have different handles for like my different worlds, you know, fantasy football or UNT football, and just my regular general handle. But like I said, I'm lazy. I just stuck with that.
Yeah, I have multiple Twitter accounts, but that's not just because I want to be super cool or something like that. It's just that I did it to kind of separate things. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, you know, Mean Green Nation is not the only Twitter account that I use. I use my personal one, and then Mean Green Nation is, like, the one for the site. And I try to keep it related to the site that's going on. Sometimes there's some crossover, but, yeah, I feel you, dude. All right, let's get to this thing. I don't know if you heard, but North Texas went to a bowl game. And they lost. 38-31 in overtime. So that's kind of a win. Like, I was afterwards at Dots, I was drinking, and I was like, you know what, guys? We didn't lose in regulation. So that's a win. That's something, you know? And
sure.
Yeah, all right. So, like, objectively speaking, you look at the game, most people were like, well, this bowl game suck. I don't know where you fall in that spectrum, you the listener, not you, Aldo. I don't know where you fall in that spectrum, but here's the official opinion of MeanGreenNation.com, is that they're kind of like birthdays, you know? Like, nobody cares about your birthday. Like, you know, the general world, like, go ask Joe on the street, hey, do you care about this guy up here in Dallas? You care about his birthday? Like, who? What are you bothering me for, right? Like, I don't care. But if it's someone close to you, or it's you, it's someone related to you, it's like the biggest day. It's a big deal. And so I think these other bowl games are kind of like that. I watched all the Conference USA bowls. They have something to do with North Texas. I did not watch, like, say, the TaxSlayer.com Bowl. You know, a random bowl on TV. And that's fine. You know, I feel like this guy. Do you buy that? How many bowl games did you watch?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Maybe like five of the G5 bowl games. Yeah. And same reason, Conference USA games, wanted to see how they played against the other guys.
Yeah, that's basically, and you know what, that's fine. And so, I mean, these things are just glorified exhibition games. And, you know, they do have meaning. Like, some players, they don't take it seriously, but some players don't take regular season games seriously. I think you could see after the game that, especially some of the players that played really hard. I think I'm thinking specifically of like Nate Brooks, cornerback Nate Brooks. He looked pretty beat up about the loss in the immediate aftermath. You know, they do matter. I mean, that's kind of all you want. You're like, hey, if you're going to get a game, it's just an entertainment. I think that North Texas put on a good show. Army put on a good show. They worked together to put on an entertaining game. It was a great day. I had fun. I enjoyed time with my friends and family. It's a win. Pluses all around. Good times, guys.
Yeah, definitely. As a, you know, from a fan point of view, you know, college football fan, not UNT fan, it was a very entertaining game, as you said. It you know, checked all the boxes in terms of what a postseason game should be. Man.
Yeah, and as far as like furthering the brand, right? Oh God, I can't even utter the word. But like, all right, so yeah, I mean, you know, we did mention a little bit of this on my other podcast, derangedpenguin.com, that we talked about time management and, you know, kind of picking a value, picking your values, right? Like, you're going to do anything, you kind of want it to have some, progress towards a longer-term goal while also, like, satisfying some things immediately, right? Bowl game was fun right now. It raised a little revenue right now. It was fun right now. But what does it do long term? Does it raise the brand? Does it raise awareness? Does it increase the likelihood that people are going to donate to the school? I think, yeah, if it's used correctly, if, you know, like the enthusiasm is, you know, I guess captured and, you know, you can turn that into action. And I think from what I saw, that the new administration did a decent job of doing that. They, you know, they've been tweeting the right things. They've been saying the right things. You know, as much as you can use a game in December to get people to buy tickets in August, I think they did what they could. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. They did a good job of, you know, seeking out help and to fund student tickets. You know, there are a lot of free tickets given out to students, as well as the $20 discounted tickets for students. They were out on Twitter, tweeting about it. They were on Facebook. From the cheap side of things, they did a good job of putting stuff out there. And also from the, you know, big sponsor side of things, they did a good job of trying to get people there. And they did. They brought more people in. You know, big part of it was Army bringing fans, but they were, you know, 39,000 people at this one versus 38,000 last time.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the thing is that, like, you know, without trying to disrespect UNLV out here. By the way, Neil Smastrisk is 0-2 in the Heart of Dallas Bowl, ain't he, as president?
That's true.
like UNLV didn't bring a whole lot of people. Army brought a lot of people. Now imagine if, like, a Big Ten team is out here, you know, we played them. I think the Heart of Dallas Bowl is the ideal bowl game for North Texas. We don't have the kind of fan base that's going to do a lot of travel. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, for the foreseeable future, maybe we're a top 25 team, and then we just go everywhere. There's so much enthusiasm, a lot of T-shirt fans, whatever, right? But right now, the bowl game that we're going to fill up is something in, you know, in Dallas. Or Fort Worth, I guess. But, I mean, like, the Dallas area. So, I mean, it felt like we were stealing again. We went to Heart of Dallas Bowl with a 5-win record. It felt like we were stealing. And we got a good opponent, a beatable opponent, a team that we could compete against. And just quick word about Army, in terms of like a matchup, this is going to be the third time we play them in just over a year. In November, I think we play them the 19th or something like that. I think I have that right. I don't have FBS schedules up in front of me. My point is that this could become a thing. We have them scheduled till 2020, I believe. And, you know, like for all the efforts that are being made to try to get a team like UTSA on equal rival status or whatever and get SMU to give a damn, I mean, Army's a quality opponent, you know? They're somebody that we could – they always need somebody to play. They're an independent squad, so, yeah. We could make that a thing.
They're a good rival to have. They're, like you said, a quality opponent. So, you know, 10 years from now, somebody says, oh, who's your rival? Oh, it's Army. Instead of saying UTSA, and they're like, who?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a big difference.
It's kind of weird. Like, yeah, Army. United States Army. I'm trying to get, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird to root against them. But, I mean.
They have a brand, and it's a good brand.
Yeah. So that's fine. I mean, there's a whole lot to talk about there. There's a clash of styles, at least for now. We got the air raid and they got the triple option. They fully displayed the triple option there. Everybody likes to watch the triple option in a bowl game. I turn on the Georgia Tech game just to see how they were running things. So enough about the preamble, I guess. Let's talk a little bit about the game. And while we're talking about the game, let's recap the season a little bit, because this bowl game exists, you know, obviously as the endpoint of a season-long progression and as a data point in the coaching tenure here for Seth Luttrell. So, you know, before the season, obviously, we had a lot more questions and very little to go on. I didn't think that we'd see a whole lot of what happened in North Carolina here for a lot of reasons. There was not the same personnel. Just specific circumstances, speaking about the roster. And, you know, we just didn't know. New staff, first time. Just a lot of question marks, a lot of moving parts. It's hard to pin down anything. So I think we learned some things by the end of this bowl game. We're going to talk about them. So the first thing, number one, to me, was the offense. Because that's what everybody's known for. The defense, if we're going to just, you know, hot sports take it, I think the defense kind of lost the game here. The offense played okay. I think it was at like net yards was something like a little under 300. But the offense passed for 310 yards or 304 yards, whatever it was. And the run game had 96 or 84, something like that. I forget off the top of my head.
I think 96 total team, and Wilson had 84 of those or whatever.
There you go. Yeah, because Tucker had a 12-yard run. So most people came away thinking, wow, Alec Morris looked good. He passed the ball well. He threw three touchdowns. That's kind of what the offense is supposed to look like. I feel good about this. If you get down to the nitty-gritty, you see that it wasn't so great. There's a lot of room for improvement, which is both like concerning and encouraging. You know, because like compared to say Louisiana Tech or Western Kentucky, or even Middle Tennessee, three Conference USA teams with really good offenses that played really well in the bowl games, we had a middling performance compared to those teams. Compared to our previous efforts, pretty good.
Yeah, and that's all we can do right now. Going from last year's a middling effort is an improvement over last year.
Yeah. So, all right. So there's that. So like, I think that just immediately calls into question. Like, I saw some tweets. I saw some comments. Like, well, you know, if Alec Morris would have played like this all year, or I think most worryingly, people were saying, man, if Seth Luttrell played Alec Morris all year, they would have been, you know, maybe. Yeah, you got to remember, one, some of these quotes by people were people that don't really follow the program too closely. Alec Morris struggled early in the season. He struggled mightily. Some of those easy passes that you saw him make today, he was not making those. And some of the mistakes that he made, the interception, which I'll say right now was on him. He was trying to fit that into a tight window that had very little margin for error, and he got hit, and so then increased the error chances interception. But the corner was bailing on that. He was going to have to fit that in. Maybe he could have. But I don't know if that was the best throw.
Yeah, he was rushing the throw. He was also bracing for a hit. And I'm not blaming the hit. I'm blaming Morris for bracing for it. At that point, he should have just either thrown it away or tucked it.
Yeah. And late in the game, well, especially in overtime, Army was bringing pressure, and Alec Morris didn't really handle it too well. He rushed the throw to on the mesh. It was a mesh play. Thaddeus Thompson dropped it. That's on Thaddeus. But it was kind of a hurried throw. And there was another time where he got flushed out of the pocket on a play-action pass, and he kind of he was a little bit flustered. That's the thing, is that like earlier on in the season, teams were bringing a little bit more pressure. SMU brought some pressure, and he kind of struggled. So I don't really see a whole lot of improvement, I guess, in that area for him. But we always knew that when he had time and he wasn't pressing and wasn't trying to do too much, he was pretty good. Against SMU, he threw for 230-something yards. He was hitting dudes. He threw a touchdown. He rolled out of the pocket. He found some guys. He was pressing a little too much. So I think the decision to start Fine against Bethune-Cookman, against Florida, et cetera, was the right one at the time. It was building for the future. You're trying to see some things. Seth Luttrell eventually said that given the practice improvement circumstances, that it was gonna be time to bring Alec Morris back in and get him some reps anyway. Just I think they wanted to sit Fine, let him see some things, you know, at that time anyway. Then he got hurt, so it just kind of it worked out. Let's not play what if. I think the decisions made, I see them as good decisions, the right decisions all along the season. And I don't know if that Alec Morris plays as well as he did the last 3-4 weeks, earlier in the season.
Yeah, and there were a lot of circumstances beyond Mason Fine and Alec Morris that won lost us a lot of games down the last half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you know the greater narrative, and obviously there's a lot of little details here and there. Is that the defense played well early in the season against some opposition that wasn't so good and kind of fell apart late in the season. Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky eviscerated them. And it's really hard to look at the defense and be like, what the hell, guys, are you guys supposed to be good? Because those offenses scored like 50 points a game or 40 points a game against everybody that they played. They are really good. They're really hard to defend. And North Texas's defense had a lot of depth issues that mean that it was always going to be hard to defend anybody unless they got everything perfect. They didn't. They get destroyed. That's fine. I'm not really concerned about those. Getting beat up by UTEP was, yeah, that's a question mark. That's like, what's going on here, guys? What are we doing? Should be better than that. It's not even like getting scored on by UTEP or even Aaron Jones going crazy against them. It's getting beat by some of the other dudes that they were getting beat by.
The tight end?
yeah, that guy. Make a tackle. You know, just little things about that. I made this comment in the recap about defending triple option against Army. I see, like, it's like defense, you really need athletes, right? Number one, because you don't have the benefit of doubt of knowing where the play is going. So it's all reacting, right? You have to react immediately. You can do some pre-snap things, but you're still reacting. And to make up for that lack of knowledge, not knowing what's going to happen, you need to have superior reaction skills. So the best defenses in the nation are just mostly better athletes. You look at Alabama, they got, you know, monsters on the defensive line. It makes it a lot easier. You can't block them up front, it makes it easier on everybody. That's why they score so many touchdowns on defense. You know, having smart defenders, disciplined defenders is the ideal. Smart, disciplined defenders who are bigger and stronger and faster than you is the ideal. That's the defense, Alabama's defense, right? The perfect defense.
Yeah, you know, what you were saying about UTEP, it showed up against Army is problems defending. There were, you know, missed assignments or, you know, the defensive backs weren't hitting the right gaps against the run plays. And that showed up again against Army.
Yeah,
and that's where you saw those big gainers.
Yeah. James Gray, he was praised for playing really well against Army the first time in October, and he did. A lot of what he had to do was fill his gap, force the pitch, be in the right spot. In this game, Army did a good job kind of faking some things, but a lot of it was being able to, you know, out-athlete our dudes, and that was concerning. I was a little concerned. I highlighted a play if you want to see what I'm talking about here. You're like, what do you mean? Show me a play. go to the site, mangrenation.com, click on the article, Heart of Dallas Bowl, triple option problems. Pointed out there. There's a couple plays where Army not only just, you know, out-schemed us, you know, made James Gray hesitate for half a second to get 5 yards, and that moved the chains. But other times, turned what would have been a negative 1 yard loss into a 7 yard gain just by dancing around a defensive ends, breaking a tackle, getting forward. You combine those two things, you know, not tackling when you have a dude right in front of you, and, you know, getting out scheme, thinking the ball is going left and it's going right, and then you allow 480 yards, right? That's kind of what happens. Army did a good job. They were ready for us. They had already seen us. They already wanted to learn from the mistake. So it's a little difficult to be like, what the hell, Mike Eckler? But, you know, you don't want 480 yards. That was a little ridiculous.
A lot
ridiculous. So, I mean, outside of that, the offense played well, and they stayed in it. And this is how, if you know, you told me at the beginning of the season, like, hey, well, the defense is having trouble defending teams, but the offense is putting up 31 points. Like, that's pretty good. I can live with that, especially considering last season when it was amazing that we scored a touchdown, you know. So the offense was air raiding, and a lot of that had to do with the offensive line, you know, blocking well. We didn't see a whole lot of sacks. Alec Morris wasn't, you know, running for his life. That was good. But some of that had to do with the way Army was defending. They were playing a really soft zone. I saw some comments that said, like, well, you know, we need better wide receivers. We didn't get beat, you know, over the top on them. We didn't get deep. We need to get deeper. Army was playing deep. They were playing to prevent the longer intermediate passes, and they were giving a lot of cushion. And
go ahead. The two safeties were playing real deep, especially notorious number 20 was playing really deep.
Yeah. And, I mean, so if you look at the first game, October game, North Texas got lucky, but they beat Army over the top. They hit Tego Ree on a deep post, Willie Robinson on a sideline fade, and at least tried to attack that level throughout the game. Army didn't want to allow that. Army says, we're not as big and strong as fast as you, but we are going to be disciplined. And we're going to tackle well. And so we're going to make you be perfect. And for the most part, North Texas was, like, we'll say 6 out of 7 and not 7 out of 7. They weren't perfect. That first drive was pretty great. Play action, completion, completion, completion. Give it to Jeff Wilson, our best player. Block the hell out of them and score a touchdown. If you look at the highlights, this is an easy one to look at the highlights on. We came out in doubles, 2 wide receivers to each side. Army had 3 defensive linemen. We blew them off the ball, got to the second level. Jeff Wilson accelerates past everybody. That's the ideal thing. Make them play pass defense. We run it up the middle with our best player. Score a touchdown. The problem was later on, Army says, you know what? We're not gonna allow you to get the easy runs on first and second down. When we're lining up and running that outside zone that worked so well that you highlighted in the first game, one from the pistol option, the pistol formation, and that kind of threw us off. And then also we had some penalties, but for the most part, pass game was good, taking what was given to him underneath throws. Alec Morris made some good throws in certain situations, tight windows here, turning Smiley over there. But yeah, what was impressive to you?
In general, Morris did, and this is what I'm notching as impressive because of his improvements over the season. He was able to, you know, fit the ball over guys, over defenders, something that North Texas fans aren't used to seeing. And that can cause mistakes, you know, with a guy that like Morris that isn't necessarily perfect but good enough to put up some, you know, 100 yards. He's able to place the ball in the right spots in the soft zone. You know, he's just made a few mistakes sometimes, and he wasn't handling the pressure very well. I think that was the most impressive part to me, the being able to use the passing game to stay in the game when Jeffrey Wilson was essentially shut out with 80-something yards.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to blame, like, even the running game, because, like, well, here's the thing, before I get ahead of myself. Play call, I know that's one thing that everybody's been saying all year, like, oh, some of those plays, I don't know why we're doing this, why we're doing that. It's easy to second guess. If something doesn't work, well, why'd you call that play? I thought that the play calling was sound for the most part. You could see the ideas behind the play. Start of the game, let's run an outside zone. Oh, and by the way, I mentioned in the thing, I made some mistakes. I labeled a play an outside zone. It was clearly an inside zone, like an inside split play, but whatever. If you didn't notice, then, you know, what does it matter? you can see what they like. They're like, hey, this play got 8 yards on this time. Let's run it again. This time they run it, gets knocked for, you know, 2 yard loss. Or we went powers. We went, once they started trying to, you know, bust up our zone blocking, we said, okay, what is the counter to that? It's pretty standard, pretty well known. You do like a counter, or some play action off of that. And we did that. And we even hit those for some big plays. One of the failed runs that stands out to most people is the two 1 yard runs that came like at midfield. We try to get aggressive. Let's run a power play. Jeffrey Wilson stopped short of the line. And they say, okay, hurry up. Let's get out there. We run an outside zone this time. That worked earlier in the game, right? 6-7 yards every time. We run it. We get hit in the backfield. The thing is, we had that schemed up right. Everybody was supposed to be blocked, should have been blocked. I mean, without, like, calling people out, like, this guy sucks, it could have been better. If it's blocked better, we get that first down. Jeffrey Wilson doesn't need to be – he doesn't need to put on 50 pounds in the offseason to be able to do that. If you see the way he runs, he can break these tackles. He can – that last run, he couldn't get any momentum. Like, as soon as he put his foot in the ground to make a cut, he got hit. He got hit in the chest. Any running back pretty much gets like that, except what, like Leonard Fournette, and probably even Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, and I know exactly what play you're talking about now. The right side of the line got completely blown up. The H-back blocked no one, and Wilson was hit immediately. So, sometimes plays get blown up, and that's not Graham Harrell's fault. I can see in some games throughout the season where kind of the flow was kind of something was working, and then we tried to change it up a little bit. I don't know if it's something that Graham Harrell saw, but it's the offense would slow down. But I think in this game we were able to keep the pressure up on Army offensively.
Yeah, I think you know, looking back on the season, thing that stands out to me is that, say, like against Rice, one of the big things we were able to do against Rice is run the ball in short yardage. If you go back and look at the highlights, you can see what I'm talking about. We ran some of these same plays, these inside zones, to get touchdowns to Willie Ivory. He had 3 touchdowns that game. Jeffrey Wilson had like an outside zone, like kind of a sweep play, and he got like 70 yards on it. We ran some of these same plays all season long, and sometimes we hit them for big yards. Other times, it looks like we can't run the ball. So you have those times against Rice, like, look at that, amazing, good stuff. Then you have times like against UTSA where we couldn't run the ball. We couldn't move the ball, and so then we had to try to do something else. If we score from short yardage against UTSA at the end of the first half, that game is a, was it 14-7 game instead of 14-0? But instead, we get hit in the backfield, Jeffrey Wilson fumbles. On the third time, we try to pound it in there, you know. Game's 14-0 at half. So it little things like that change the dynamics of the game. Against Army in this situation, we got stopped twice, 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1. We end up stopping them, 4th-and-4, and we get the ball back. But that killed our momentum because we had just got the ball second half. We're moving the ball a little bit, right? We're about to take the lead in this game. It was 24-21 at the time. So that changes the game. So when defense gets a stop, okay, well, now the offense has to come back and try to do something, right? So, you know, you're talking about flow. If we get that yard, we keep the pressure on them, on their defense. We make them have to score. We don't give the ball to their ball control offense. One of the reasons we had to settle for a field goal to try to tie the game was because Army had the ball for 10 minutes and 35 seconds. kill the clock. And yeah, you can be like, come on, defense, what are you doing? But that's what Army does. It's what they're built to do. I think famously, Navy runs the same kind of offense. Basically just four-cornered the Houston offense, right? Like, Houston actually had, like, a great efficiency rating, but they only had the ball, you know, a handful of times, and then Navy just completely killed the game by just, you know, chewing up clock, chewing up clock, chewing up clock. So against those kinds of teams, or, you know, against a different team that just scores, whatever, we're going to struggle. Yeah, some of that's defense. Hey, make a stop. But also, you know, offense got to do the – they have to do their part. Short yard, you should be able to line up and get a yard. And that's a quote that Seth Luttrell said after the first game against SMU. He said, we got to line up and get a yard. We got to be able to do that. I think in that time, Alec Morris checked to a fade route to Tigory, and that fade was intercepted. You know, this time we run into the line and get stuffed. So things changed, but they don't really change. Okay, so that said, okay, run game, that's an improvement. It's something we'll get into in a little bit when we talk about areas of need. I think it's pretty clear we're going to talk about the offensive line. It's been a negative, an issue, problem area, whatever you want to call it. Use your euphemism of choice. But, you know, we've been shuffling dudes around on the line all season long, and that's affected the run game and the pass game. And, you know, maybe colored our view of Alec Morris and Mason Fine. So, you know, we'll see. Speaking of, you know, there's not going to be a debate Alec Morris, Mason Fine anymore because Alec Morris is graduating. I think, you know, his brief career here didn't work out the way he probably envisioned. But I think he ended on a high note. He played well last three games. Like you said, he was able to. He's tall. He's able to see people. He has a strong arm. He's finding guys, moving the offense. He showed what he could do in this final game. Mason Fine showed what he could do. He showed flashes. He has the run game. He ran for 80 yards against UTSA. What did he display in the pass game, though? There's some people that say, oh, well, this dude can't throw deep. I disagree. Or this dude can't see this, that, and the other. I think he has his biggest problem is that he's not seeing a field all the time when the play starts. You know, he knows what to do. He knows the offense, he knows how to run it. But I think sometimes he plays like a freshman is the simplest answer. I think good things are going to happen in the future for him. One of his issues, his limiting factors is that he's kind of small. He's really small. Everybody's like, God, this guy's tiny. Little guy out there. But, I mean, I think he can play quarterback from North Texas. Maybe not Hall of Fame level, but he can play quarterback from North Texas. What have you saw? I know, you know, in conversations on the message board and thing, you went back and got a GIF or two. What have you seen from Mason Fine?
Well, I've seen an improvement over the season, or I saw an improvement over the season from his throws. Like, Bethune-Cookman was just awful in terms of his fades. Even Florida game, sometimes the Rice game. But over time, his fade has gotten better. And that, you know, partly due to coaching, you know, mostly due to coaching, but also his ability to improve, you know, a throw. You know, some guys can't improve the types of throws they make. And Andrew McNulty was unfortunately a person who couldn't improve on some of his throws. Fine, which is a good thing for him for 2017, is he showed improvement with his fade throws because before they were terrible. They were awful. I mean, there's no talking around that. But you know, he's getting hitting guys in stride, or he's putting in the bread basket, and instead of throwing it way out of bounds or underthrowing it and getting it intercepted.
Yeah, I think one thing that I noticed from him early on was that he was underthrowing some of these things, or like he has like ball control questions. I'll say one of the fumbles against UTSA, right, was that swing pass, ball slips out of his hand, and I don't think that was the only time that happened to him. And I wonder, you know, because I don't really get it, the greatest look on him. I'm just watching on TV like everybody else, or in the stands like everybody else. I wonder how much of that is affecting his throws, especially the deeper ones, right? You know, you want a good grip on the thing. against Rice in the drive, the one that I kind of talked about a lot, and I felt like changed the season. And you know what? Seth Luttrell agrees with me. That one, he lost up the ball to O'Kieran Rutherford and into double coverage, and it's not the greatest throw. One, it's not the greatest look. He's thrown into double coverage. I think it was a fade into cover two, right? Safety over the top, man coverage. It's not the greatest throw. Luckily, the good Lord saw fit to strike down the Rice Owls and leave, you know, like part of the sea. He parted the Rice Owls stadium. You know, like that's not a good throw against Army, right? The post route to Tigori was kind of floated. The Army dude falls down. Tigori doesn't catch the touchdown pass. Later in that game, fade route to Willie Robinson. Corner falls down. Willie Robinson's a wide open catch the ball. Those are not the greatest throws.
To specify what you're saying, or to clarify what you're saying, in all these plays, the receivers have to slow down mm-hmm. in order to get the ball.
Underthrown balls. And that's the thing is, like, I don't know if it's Mason Fine just doesn't have the arm strength to do that. Because, I don't know. Like I'm saying, it might be that he's thrown to a spot and he's just off, or he's rushing his throw, or his bad technique. There's lots of different reasons why a ball would be underthrown or thrown poorly or something like this. The good news is that he's going to get a little stronger, right? Throughout his time here, throughout the offseason, he's going to get a lot more practice throwing the ball in this system to these college players. It could be that, you know, like he's high school, he's like, these guys can never get to this pass, but in college, they're outrunning that pass. I don't know. I'm kind of speculating here, giving the benefit of the doubt. Even that said, he can throw a deep enough pass that we can stretch the field. A lot of this offense is about stretching the field horizontally and vertically, but more specifically, horizontally. That this offense isn't built around deep throws. Like, sorry, for comparison's sake, you look at like Texas. I think everybody follows Texas, right? They got the version, you know, last year I'm speaking about the Sterling Gilbert guy. They got a version of the Browse offense, right? Which is the veer and shoot, right? It's a lot of power runs, play actions off these things. You want a guy that can throw a beautiful fade route, a beautiful deep ball, because it's a large part of the offense. Air raid, you know, I guess maybe counterintuitively, is not that. It's a ball control offense. It is the triple option of, you know, but just passing the ball. A lot of the plays are short hitches, easy throws, stuff that you can, you know, within a 15-yard, zone there. You do need to have some arm strength, one, to play college football, to play major college football. And if you do, if you're like the Mahomes guy, right, from Texas Tech, you can get away with some other things. You can, you know, scramble around and chuck it 70 yards down the field off your back foot, just flicking your wrist kind of the deal. And that changes the game. Sure, it'd be great if you have a great arm. You don't need one. You really need to be accurate, Alec Morris, have a powerful enough arm to get the ball where it needs to be right now. Because the guy's going to settle into a window. You need to fit it in there. You can't just, like, loft it in there. I think Mason Fine's able to do that. You know, you brought this up a couple times that he's not able to see over the middle so easily. And that's true. That's kind of a concern that I have also. Some of that's going to come with time. I wonder how much is not him just, you know, the game being a little too quick for him to see some of those third and fourth progressions. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not in a QB meetings. I'm not in a QB film session. I don't know. But I agree with that.
Yeah, and to kind of expand what you were saying about not needing a deep arm, I mean a big arm in the air raid offense, you know, a lot of what air raid does is try to, you know, you can run different plays off the same formation, whether it be a run play, a pass play, or a pass play where two of the routes are changed just slightly in order to confuse the defensive backs. And now when you had a guy that wasn't open in the previous play, now you've got a guy that's open to catch a 5-yard pass and turn it into a 15-yard gainer. So the air raid isn't built to do, you know, throw 10 deep passes in a game. You're trying to create explosive situations. Yeah. And sure, when you get a guy open deep on a go route, you need a guy, you need a quarterback that can make the throw. And I think Mason Fine has shown that he can make the throw. Now, you know, can he beat out guys coming in next season? That's a completely different discussion, I feel. You know, that's just something that fall camp will just have to answer.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll see, mostly. I think Mason Fine is a if he does what Alec Morris did in this game, if Mason Fine does what he did against Middle Tennessee, I'll be happy with that. And I think with the overall improvement, everybody's going to get like a +2 rating, right? Everybody's going to get a little bit better, or they should. I think we'll be okay. It's not great, and I still like to see them bring in some other guys. And we got the Pearson kid. Devlin Isidore is probably a little weird on his throwing motion, but, you know, he brings an added dimension and maybe even some insurance. If you'd be super cynical and be like, oh, he's not even as good as Mason Fine, but he can probably run as well or maybe even better than him. So
yeah, definitely a good runner. I mean, I need to see what he looks like after coming back from injury. Yeah. And by the looks of it, he's got a pretty accurate arm. But hold on, Mason Fine. He's got a lot of room for improvement, you know, and he's a freshman. Of course, you got to remember he's a freshman. He made a ton of mistakes. So he's got to fix those, you know, whatever the mental process is to, you know, be Fine Dozer. Instead of being Fine Dozer, let's throw it away, Dozer.
Yeah, there's a couple times where he was trying to make plays, and I think that's what everybody likes about him. I like it. I'm like, yes, try to make a play, but don't try to make all the plays all the time. Sometimes you just got to get out of bounds.
He's a gamer, and I appreciate that, but he can't do it all himself. He's got to trust his teammates to block for him, to be open for him, and let them help him make plays.
All right, just quick note. The screen game, we were running lost screens. They were great. Getting the ball. I like getting the ball on screens to Jeffrey Wilson. That's a lot of what that Ray does. Gets the ball in hands of playmakers. One of the issues, again, looking back at the UTSA game, it just stands out because he threw an interception on a screen. He had Jeffrey Wilson wide open. He overthrew him. Interception. Killed a drive. Mason Fine did a great job getting the ball to Jeffrey Wilson on time, in his hands where he can catch it. Mason Fine throws it a little high. He throws it a little kind of wide sometimes. And that's the thing. You don't need the strongest arm to throw a screen pass. That's just, you know, throwing a good ball. And if he does that against UTSA, Jeffrey Wilson gets the ball playmaker time, right? He had a couple blockers lined up. Sort of like Jeffrey Wilson had. It was like third and whatever. Thaddeus Thompson got a penalty for like getting somebody's face or whatever. Throw a screen pass. Jeffrey Wilson follows his blockers, follows Sam Rice. Screen pass, touchdown. That's all you need. You know what I mean? That's a 22-yard touchdown that didn't, the ball didn't travel more than 5 yards. You know what I mean? That's how that works. Yeah, that's what we need from Mason Fine. You know, and if he works on his deep ball in the offseason, that just all the more better. But work on the stuff, you know, we can get. He can work on a screen pass. He doesn't need to, you know, you don't need to take some of those steroids to get a rocket arm out here. Let's move on to the defense.
My last point was going to be, I think it's just a velocity issue. And, you know, like you said, just work on it over the offseason.
Yeah. So defensive line was a big question mark coming into the season. There's not a lot of beef there. I mean, we got DeMonte Hood came in, played well. I think, especially Army the first time, he did some good things. But Army still ran for 300 yards in that October game, 480 yards this game. UTEP, they destroyed us running the ball. A lot of that is just talent, though. Aaron Jones, talent. Run defense at times was questionable, and a running theme throughout the season was run fits, people not being as disciplined. People not being as disciplined as we need them to be. I remember in the SMU game, we allowed a long touchdown run, a couple long runs. Seth Luttrell saying, we're just out of our run fits. One guy out of his run fit, next thing you know, guy goes for 50 yards. The pass defense was probably our strength this season. And in this game, you know, Army didn't throw the ball well, and they hit some big plays on play action. It's not really on the DBs there. That's because they were creeping up and had an inability to stop the run. Overall this season, I think except Louisiana Tech, hey, who knows? couple NFL receivers over there against Western Kentucky. Hey, look at that. A couple NFL receivers over there. Didn't play so well. But they did play well against Alonzo Staggers and Nick Mullins. Shout out to Nate Brooks. Shut that dude down. He had like 230-something yards in the ball game. So DBs are a strength. We're losing a couple guys there, but Keyshawn McClain, he's a beast. You can see him make some plays in the bowl game. I highlighted one of those. I don't know how to say this without knocking James Gray, but he's better than James Gray, and you can see that because the way James Gray is like, I got to cheat a little bit to get to the edge. Keyshawn McClain's like, I'm going to rocket boost to the edge, and he does it with so much ease, and it's ridiculous. He's so good.
To add that to that a little bit, James Gray did a decent job. I mean, he might have been a liability in the run game, but if you ever watched him go one-on-one on a receiver, mm-hmm. running a dig route or a deep slant or something, he was right in his pocket, and he was there deflecting passes. So whoever replaces him has to at least be able to do that in order to, you know, keep the consistent level of production next season.
I agree. Before the season, I was high on Nate Brooks. I was high on Ashton Preston. I was high on, you know, the guys we have. Eric Jenkins was a late arrival. We didn't know what we had there. He turns out to be one of our better corners. He actually did a lot of things. A couple interceptions and 10 for a touchdown. He got beat a couple times by UTSA's dude. But, I mean, look, you're defensive back, you're going to get beat sometimes. It happens. For the most part, we stick our guys on an island and say, go out there and defend, because we're going to push everybody forward to get to the quarterback, stop the run. Against, I guess, more of our talent level and against teams that didn't, at times when we didn't have depth issues, we played better. Our depth was exposed late in the season, and the run game was really questionable late in the season. You had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, we definitely had a lot of injuries there on both sides of the ball. And Greg talked about this at the beginning of the season. You know, he's predicting a decent start, and then once injuries start hitting, that we'd see a bad run, and that's what we saw. We saw an end of, what, one win and four losses before the bowl game?
Yeah.
So it was a pretty rough ending. And, yeah, the guys were just getting blown off the ball on defense. And, you know, what is that? Is that size? Is that the depth issue, like you were saying, because Army's running the ball 80,000 times. Our guys are on the field for 10 minutes in the fourth quarter. Are they tired?
I think it's a combination of things. If you're not, it was funny, right? The other day, the anecdote, I was playing pickup basketball, and, you know, I'm 6 foot, right? Probably not even 6 foot, probably like 5. I'm shrinking as I'm getting older. 6 foot, it's listed on my driver's license, 6 foot. But, you know, you play a pickup game, the guy is 6'2, that's the biggest dude in the court, so I got to go guard this guy. But he's a big old dude, right? So, pickup game, I'm guarding him, battling in the post. I can handle him a little bit, okay, fine. Third game in, right? There's another big dude. And I can't even do it anymore. I'm like, I'm just getting bodied out the post, right? Because I'm not that big and that strong. And, you know, you can apply that terrible example to these actual athletes, you know what I mean? That, especially over a long period of season, if you're not getting breaks, these things add up. You know, if you don't have bodies, not even in practice, you don't have bodies there. You know, little nagging injuries slow you down half a step. So now you're half a step slower. So that means that you have to, you know, try to cheat a little bit. You're out of position. You get gashed up the middle. Little things like that happen to everybody.
All those things happen
in this particular case.
Yeah, and you got a QB who got converted to tight end and then who got converted to defensive end and then ends up being out for the season with an injury. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our guys on the edges, I don't know if you noticed, but they're just slow. I mean, Combs is probably the exception.
Yeah,
and by edges I mean the defensive end, not the outside linebacker. They're slow getting to the sidelines, and we were just getting out athleted on the edges and in the middle. You know, Hood's got some size to him, but he's not Richard Abbey. He's not plugging up the holes that we were playing up back then. So I think that's just something moving forward. Even though it was better than last year, I think that's an area we can improve on still.
Yeah, and like, it's a concern for everybody. Everybody, like, football is a simple game. If you have a team with a super badass offensive line and a super badass defensive line, you're going to win a lot of games. No matter what, you can do a lot of things. It opens up your whole world. I mean, again, look at Alabama, the best defensive line in college football. That solves a lot of problems. They were able to defend against Washington, who was a really good offensive team, with two high safeties and stop the run because they had monster defensive linemen. You know, it makes everything easier. We're not going to get those guys here at North Texas, you know, that are going to go directly to the NFL. Like, look at this dude. You know, we're not going to get Ed Olivers here. Probably not. But we can get guys that can compete at Conference USA level. And if we get enough guys, and that's the problem here, is we don't have depth, is that we don't need one guy to play all the snaps or most of the snaps. Or even then, maybe the guy's not even tired. But let's give him a break anyway and bring somebody that's a little bit fresher, that can go 100%, you know, that doesn't have to leave 5% in the tank for later in the game. Or maybe he gives 100% in the third quarter and he just doesn't have anything left, right? He doesn't need to worry about that. We can have three guys going 100% all the time. You can do some rotation, maybe even do some matchup things in there. All that's good. We didn't really have that here. I think it took its toll. It's one of a number of things there. We can make some improvements in the linebacking situation. And then, you know, everybody had to get a little bit smarter, made sure they don't get out of the run fits. There was a lot of that discussion throughout the season. Seth Trellis mentioned that. Got to get guys with right eye discipline. If one guy messes up, it's a touchdown. And that's what happens. I like the aggression Mike Eckler brings. I like the philosophy on defense. I think you can win with his style of defense here in Conference USA. We need the guys, and we always knew that was going to be a problem. Like you said, Greg mentioned that before the season. That was one of the reasons why I was a little disappointed about the loss to SMU, because that was a winnable game, and the loss to UTSA, because that was a winnable game. Two more wins that we get there, and then we don't really have to worry. You know, we don't need to absolutely have to beat Southern Miss, you know what I mean? But that just made it.
I see what you're getting. And we can, you know, we can talk 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes on the precursors to what put us in our current situation. But, you know, we got to look forward and hope that this coaching staff is able to bring those guys to fit that 3-3-5. You know, and currently we don't – it's a patchwork of guys right now. Yeah. And we're having a lot of guys on defense graduating, one-year guys or four-year guys that are no longer going to be there. So that brings up, you know, who's next? Who's up next?
Fred Scott, Courtney Finney leaving. You know, some people had some criticisms for Fred Scott, and I think there were some things he could have improved on. He was a little injured, off the injured dude. But he's gone. Yeah, I mean, he's the only dude that was on both Hart of Dallas Bowl teams. I mean, he was like a freshman on that first one, I think. You know, we're losing him. Courtney Finney made a lot of tackles. He made a lot of nice plays this season. Losing him. I like, you know, what we saw, what we're getting from Josh Wheeler. I like, who else? Is DeLonga gone? Right, he's gone too.
Yeah, Flushi, Combs.
I think Flushi's not gone though, right?
I thought I heard he was graduating and he's just done.
Maybe. It might be that. One of the things that happened at the end of last season was that there was a mass exodus along the defensive line also. We're losing a lot of dudes. And that was one of the big concerns I had. I was like, can TJ, you know, man that thing? Can they get big enough? Can they get strong enough? What's going to be the thing? They were getting blown off the ball, ridiculous style, against Louisiana Tech last season. Kind of happened again here. Bryce English is coming. Maybe Ravion Houston, right? Houston, whatever his name is.
Houston.
Maybe that dude's coming. There's some question marks there. He was academically ineligible, but he's always tweeting about North Texas. Maybe that dude comes, right? Bryce English is excited about playing. Maybe there's some late arrivals, DeMonte Hood style. I don't know. A word about recruiting. Ren Baker went on the Gumming Green podcast. You know, shout out to those guys getting these interviews over here.
I can pretend to be Ren Baker.
Yeah. he said a couple good things. I just want to quickly, you know, he said something about recruiting. He's like, you know, I've been coached from at NAIA or athletic director. Stars don't mean anything from NAIA to the SEC. That it really only matters on like those 5-star dudes that are gonna, you know, change, go to the NFL. Everybody else is kind of like how you evaluate, whatever. So that was kind of like, hey guys, don't worry that we're 10th place in recruiting right now. We're gonna be okay. I think there's some truth to that, and I also think that that's also some hand waving, some real issues. I think if we were the number one recruiting class on 24/7 Sports, we'd be putting that everywhere. Like, look at this recruiting class. That show's doing great. We're not, so we're like, eh, it doesn't really matter so much. Don't worry about it, guys. That's yeah. What's going to happen. So yeah, all right. So we have some other questions before. Do you have something to say?
Oh no, go ahead.
Biggest offseason need, quarterback or offensive line? This is by Greg. Greg Godecker, Mr. Greg Godecker, who doesn't want to be named. I think for me it's offensive line. I think we have a capable enough quarterback, Mason Fine. Offensive line needs to be improved. And if that means, hey, let's improve it to the level where we're not shuffling guys midseason. We're not like, all right, you play tackle, now you're center. You're the guard, now you're over here, and you're playing tackle. Let's not do that. Some of that was injuries. A lot of that was play. That's offensive line for me. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm waffling in my head back and forth on this. I'm thinking, you know, defensive line just because it'll help the offense out. But, you know, several times throughout the season, the defense.
Right, well, let's make it easy. I guess in this situation, quarterback, offensive line, which is it?
Offensive line.
Okay. All right. So we're in agreement there. We won't first take that. But let's, all right, on defense, what do we need to improve? I mean, we just spent all this time defensive line. So defensive line for you also?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Another question. How do we fix the defense, like the non-obvious one? Well, what is the obvious one? Get amazing players in there? I think it's depth. And that's, you know, even if we had the same level talent here, we'd add some depth there. Add some dudes along the defensive line to get some snaps, to get some run in there, even bodies in practice. I think that goes a long way to improving the defense. Again, I like the scheme. I like some of the players we have. I think it's easier to get defensive backs than it is to get defensive linemen. So if we're not just immediately able to, you know, we should put our focus to the defensive line. That's what I'm trying to say in the short time I have available. What do you think? Easy.
I think we need to focus more on talent. I think there our defensive line was performing at the top of what they can do, and if we can get better talent, then they would perform better.
Yeah. Again, like the way we're playing defense is like be aggressive, bring some pressure, leave our cornerbacks on an island, and I guess we have to recruit dudes that can play on an island. Eric Jenkins did a decent enough job. Nate Brooks, good enough player in Conference USA. He did a great job at times. The safeties, Keshawn McClain, playmaker, James Gray. You say he was good in pass defense. We're going to get beat over the top. Western Kentucky beat Nate Brooks pretty badly a couple times. Carlos Henderson tore us up a little bit. But if you look at the way we played in that first half against Louisiana Tech, we went toe-to-toe with them. Maybe if we can get some better, we get some pressure on them, if we can get a hold of the quarterback sometimes. You look back throughout the season, couldn't get a hold of the SMU's quarterback, couldn't get a hold of UTSA's quarterback. Missed just barely a couple times on Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky's dudes. If we make some of those sacks, you know, games turn around a little bit. We give the ball back to the offense. So if we're going to play that way, that's fine. Be aggressive. We got to hit on those. We got to make those sacks. It makes everything easier. And some of that is just getting some depth along the line, getting talent in, obviously, is the easiest way. So what does progress / success look like next season? Your thoughts?
For me, it would be bowl eligibility without having to worry about APR.
Yeah, I mean, what? Like, really, Willie Ivory out here, he's kind of had no chances, man. You got to get your... Gotta get in the library, get to Willis, turn the light on, go in the corner. I think third floor, that's a good one.
Well, I mean, I was surprised. I was a little surprised with all the attrition that we did have. Maybe that'll affect us next season. So I just want us to just legitimately go in there with at least six wins, and that's definitely an improvement over post quantitatively and I think qualitatively from this season.
Yeah, I think 6 wins is success. We can. I mean, looking at the schedule here, like it really depends on what everybody has that season going into next season. Like UTEP doesn't have Aaron Jones anymore. We're gonna play them. Are they? That's a beatable team, I think, unless they just find, you know, a quarterback and they just turn the corner. Conference USA is not that different from top to bottom. Again, like before the season, look at Middle Tennessee. You're like, they're pretty good. They're gonna be one of the top teams. They lose stock still for a little bit, and all of a sudden they look awful. Right? They beat Missouri, they lose to UTSA. Like, what is that? I mean, all it takes is a change. Look at North Texas. 5 wins from 1 win, right? UTSA, bowl eligible from, was they had 2-3 wins last season? There's not a whole lot of difference in the conference. So, beating the teams that we should beat, like this year, that was a UTSA game. That was a winnable game. Competing better against SMU. I think doing that, I think we can get to 6 wins. They're the ones that you can win, like your FCS game, you know, one or two other teams that are bad, and then stealing a game that you shouldn't, right? This year was Southern Miss. Next year, who knows who that is? You can get to 6 wins. I think that would be fine. Even if they got to 5 wins, but they're more competitive in the losses, or, you know, that would be fine with me too. I think you can make the argument that going to a bowl game this season was probably not the best thing long term in terms of expectations, but you'd take it if you know.
You never do it for the kids.
Yeah, you always take it.
Yeah, specifics for me in terms of success, you know, two years in a row going to a bowl game is successful, especially here in North Texas, where we're going through a lot of droughts. A QB who throws for over 3,000 yards would be success.
Yeah.
I think you'd say that too.
Yeah. I mean, at a certain point, we didn't have to do a comeback. I think Alec Morris would have had 250-something yards, right? And if you know, put that out for the season, something like 3,500 yards. And I think I put down that somewhere. That's like an average air raid season. If we can have a true air raid next season, that would be pretty great.
And that's a record book season for a school like North Texas.
Yeah, it would be. I think it would be like almost an all-time passing record. You'd probably be up there. It's ridiculous how little passing success we've had here in North Texas.
The bar is set low.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wilson, senior season, going for 1,000 yards. That would be nice.
Yeah, I think that will come if he just plays every game, doesn't get hurt. He's been hurt every year of his career here.
Yeah, and part of it, I mean, I think he's got a slender frame. He may not be light, but he's got a slender frame. And keeping him around, and I think also Greg talked about this, keeping him around 15 touches a game would be better for his body. So the other guys need to really step up. Because he saw a lot of games where he was getting, 20 touches, over 20 touches. Including passes.
Mm-hmm.
So he was exposed a lot. You know, he's got an upright running style. So he gets hit high and low pretty – it can get pretty tenuous sometimes.
Yeah, I think See, here's the thing. Like, Willie Ivory was a good compliment to him. I think just the special quality that – Jeff Wilson brings, puts him over the top there. I like the way we're set up next season. Got Nick Smith. You know, you hear some things about him, how good he is. I don't think it's very hard to find a running back. And it sounds like dismissive, but especially when in this offense, you need a guy that can catch the ball and then, you know, run well. There's a lot of guys like that just because everybody practices being a running back when they're kids, right? But Jeff Wilson's special. And we got to give him the ball. So, yeah, you want to keep him healthy, but I think you mitigate that not necessarily by touches, but by an off-season regimen and a training program. You know, I think that's the way you do it.
Sure, I get that, but also he's the only special one, or was the only special player on offense this year. So you kind of put everything on his back, and there wasn't really anybody else on the team that was able to, help him with the weight, carry the weight, help him carry the weight. And I think you expect a guy like Guiton next season, the wide receiver coming
Is
in.
it Guyton or what you said?
Oh, it might be Guyton. I've only read his name, and I thought French, Guiton.
Yeah, I was like, what? I was like, who are you talking about? Oh, okay.
could be Guyton. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the guy from Notre Dame who went to TVCC or whatever,
Yeah.
he could help both Mason Fine and Jeffrey Wilson out by
Being
moving the
good.
chain, right? Being a good wide receiver, moving the chains so you don't rely on Wilson to be the chain mover.
All right, so we're nearing the end. I don't want to go too long. We're at like 1 hour 5 minutes right now. I mean, we have some room here, but let's just quickly go sort of position groups to the whole team, and we'll just quickly talk about next season. It's way too early to do this, but quarterback, right now it's Mason Fine. Maybe it's Isidore. You never know. Like, I didn't think in the season preview, I just put a sentence about Mason Fine. Like, he's in the future. He's probably going to get redshirted. We won't see. Turns out he started more games than anybody. You never know. I like the intrigue factor of Devlin Isidore. I'd like to see somebody else, and I think we have room to bring in a guy to compete. I think competition's good for everybody. But if we are, I don't want to say stuck, but if we are left with Mason Fine as the dude, I am not, hanging my head over that. Agree?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see Mason Fine be the starter next year because that means, one, he's improved, and two, we can redshirt Pearson and create a little bit more stability for the future.
Yeah, that's a big deal there. Yeah, we need more than one quarterback here at North Texas, and I know I'm kind of repeating Seth Luttrell, but I mean like more than one quarterback that could play at any time, and also have room for the future. Not necessarily like two guys playing, during the season. I like Jeff Wilson. I don't know if Willie Ivory what his situation is going to be, but let's assume he comes back and he's going to be there. I like Jeff Wilson, Willie Ivory combination. I like bringing in another guy. That was one of our strongest position groups coming into the season. Into the season as the thinnest one, but it was still the most productive. I like it. I think we can get some good things as if the offensive line improves, and we'll talk about it in a second, or at least gets stays pl plays as good as it did in its better moments this season. We'll see some good things there. Really got to improve on that short yardage situation. We're
Yeah,
losing Sam. Yeah, we're losing Sam Rice on the line. Trey Keenan. Everybody else had good games and some bad games, including Jordan Murray, Alex Woodworth. What's his name? Henson. Question
TJ
marks.
Hansen.
Yeah. So, a lot of room for improvement, but there's some good times, good moments. We need some depth there.
Yeah, we've got, third year in a row, we've got question marks on the offensive line. I agree with you, running back unit being really thin. We could use more talent there, and I think Nick Smith's really good. But I love bruisers like Brandon Byrd, so I hope we get a guy like him again soon.
No. I mean, I like the Tucker run. I think there's sometimes there was some, Anthony Weish, I feel like he disappointed this season. We expected a little bit more from him. He could have added some of that depth there. I have a feeling that he's going to improve next season. I think he was just kind of struggling with the move. Dude, he has some talent. All right, wide receivers. I mean, is it the obvious one? I'm of the mind that you can get guys to play wide receiver. That, especially in this offense, you really just need to run your route, run a good route, and that's 90% of the thing. Run a good route, catch the ball. Game breakers are another thing, and those are nice to have, and maybe, to be an elite offense, you need that. You need a Carlos Henderson, but you need guys who just run the route, catch the ball. Losing Thad Thomas, Thompson, he was pretty solid, ran his routes, caught the ball for the most part. He dropped a couple
My
key
man.
passes. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
If Turner Smiley can play like he did last couple weeks, and not the Turner Smiley that turns around and drops passes, that'd be good.
Yeah, he Turner Smiley, I thought, was, you know, I've always been down on him because of his inconsistencies and his drops, but he ended the season pretty darn strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's shows a good forecasting for next season.
Yeah. Hope he keeps that trend line. Tyler Wilson really showed out towards the end. He caught two touchdown passes, I think, right? One from Fine, one from Morris this season. You saw improvement throughout the season. He has dynamism. He is the guy, kind of guy that can turn a short five-yard pass, the kind of pass that this offense generates pretty frequently, into a big game. He did that. There was one I didn't get a good screen grab on it because the camera was not really showing the whole field, and they didn't replay it during no huddle. But he caught a short pass, sidestepped a dude, got a block from Kenny Byers, turned up the field, turned it into like a 15-20-yard game. That's the kind of thing that this offense will generate. And when you're talking about big plays, guys like Guyton, Jalen Guyton, maybe a Turner Smiley, if he can catch the ball, Tyler Wilson, that's good. Those are good. Those are good things to have. And then we're like, all right, who else? Who's next? If the rest of the guys, if O'Kieran Rutherford could just be a turnaround, catch the ball, get out of bounds kind of dude, that's fine because that's what we need. We need that. If they're going to give you 5 yards and he can take the 5 yards and catch it, settle in the zone, that's fine. Kenny Byers did a little bit of that. That's fine. We just need that. Any thoughts on the wide receiver?
It's pretty much the same. You know, what I hoped would be a strength in this offense this season turned into almost a weakness.
Yeah.
It was kind of a push. But yeah, there's a lot of question marks coming in, and you're hoping these guys step up. You don't know what Deion Hare Griffin will bring. We know he's got speed, and you know he's got talent, but is it going to translate next season? Are we going to see him? Rico Bussey. He looked so good in the bowl game, which gets me pretty excited. I think he's going to lock down a starting position on the outside. He's going to beat somebody out. I'd like to see Guyton as an inside receiver.
Yeah.
I think he's got a big body and he could make big plays over the middle. So there's definitely optimism, but there's no like definitive proof
surety
that it's going to be good. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think at this point that's a reasonable place to be. We're still near the second recruiting class for Seth Luttrell. He was working with what he had, Thad Thompson, Tigari, he converted Kenny Byers, Willie Robb. You know what I mean? These guys are there. Let's see what we can do. Let's turn them into good players. Now we get to the point where he's getting guys. He's like, all right, guys, you saw my offense. This is what it could look like. Here's a touch you can get. Come over here, play for me. You know, now he's, if he can get those guys that can play, you know, maybe this thing turns around a little bit more because it did turn around. All right, so we did that. Defense, defensive line, still same thing. I mean, we've talked a lot about this. It's been a big defensive line podcast. We need some guys who make a difference. I don't know, just guys that can eat up space. We need bodies there. If we can do that, if we can get guys that can play, they don't need to be all conference, dude. Just guys that can play, make a play, get some rotation, we'll be better than we were towards the end of the season. Cause that's what we need. And I don't know how much you can stock up on depth. We only have 25 scholarships to give out. And I think at this point it's like 20, if Vito's right. You know, this might be a longer term project than we'd like to think. You know, it might be same situation next season, 2017, November, getting blown off the ball. We're like, what's happened? Same problems as last year. Like, yeah, well, you know, we still need guys. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and I think the recruiting staff is focusing right now on the offense, the offensive line especially. So it'll still take some time before we see some strides in the defensive line.
Yeah. And that's, again, like, you need a guy. You need a kind of a spine. We got a good running back, right? It looks like we got a good wide receiver, at least a talented wide receiver. Okay. We have a quarterback to give him the ball. Okay. Now we need people to block for them because it doesn't matter how good they are if we can't block for nobody, right? And I guess the line's credit, at least in terms of pass plays, Seth Luttrell says, not all the sacks, not all the mistakes. We're on the offensive line. Some of it was on the quarterback. And that means Mason Fine, who was a freshman, and Alec Morris, who hadn't played in 4 years. So, you know, assuming that Mason Fine improves, they get a lot of work together, maybe that works out. I will say that I think, like, if you look at, say, Mike Leach, right, air raid guy, he was an offensive line coach originally, and I mean, he turned Washington State's terrible offensive line, he said it was like a weakness when I got here, now they're a strength. If we can get something similar here, that would be amazing. Linebackers, we need guys who can make plays. Right now, I'm still like, it's okay. We'll see what we got. I don't know if the linebacking play this past season was great. I think they did their jobs. They made some plays sometimes. They were a little slow to the edges other times.
Yeah. It was a big improvement over last season. But, yeah, it's still a weakness for sure.
Yeah. And if, you know, look at the coaching, I think they squeezed a lot. They squeezed everything they could out of defense. Again, we're talking about one of the worst defenses in the nation, and they improved them like 30, 40 spots or something like that. They were actually, yeah, for a time being, they were a strength. We were like, you know what? The defense is pretty okay for a while.
They were historically, yeah, bad. And yeah, they, and like I said before, I think they maximized their potential based on the talent that they had. And, you know, some guys on paper have look good, like Mylon Peters. He's, yeah, got size, actual linebacker size. Everybody else is 6 foot, 230, 220. This guy is over 6 foot, pushing 230, 240,
yeah,
250, something like that. So he looks good on paper. So, you know, I'm not going to be completely down on linebackers as it was last year. But, yeah, we still need some more guys there to step up.
Yeah, just unresearched, just off the top of my head, guys that I thought that played well. Brandon Garner, I like him. I like him on his team. EJ Ajayi made some plays sometimes. D. Balkman made some plays, and he's not a linebacker, but he's like the jack dude.
Yeah, the outside linebacker.
Yeah. Cedric Fernandez, he tweeted this too. I liked him in the brief time I saw him play against SMU 2 years ago. He's been hurt. He got hurt again. You know, I like what we have there. He's a defensive back. You know, we'll see what we have there. But I liked him at the time. I thought he played well. You know, I thought Ashton Preston at times made some plays. And I think, I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm like his only fan. I like the way I thought
yeah,
he made some plays in the run game. He made some plays in the pass game. Kyrie Muhammad made some plays. He got an interception famously against was that Marshall? He made some plays. He made some plays in the run game in this game. Was it Taylor Robinson? You know, he's the guy. And I can't, again, off the top of my head, I can't think of any plays that he made specifically that were pretty amazing. But I think we got some dudes on this team that can make us competitive, keep us in games. You know, Western Kentucky, if we play them again, they're still going to be favorites, and they still might put 50 against us. But that's not really, you know, we're not at that level quite yet. But against the UTSA, can we beat them? Yeah, I think we can. We almost beat them at their place. Now they're going to come to Denton. You know, they're getting their talent, they're getting guys. Okay, we'll see. I still think they're not that much better than us yet. A UTEP, we should have beat them this year. We should have beat them last season when they were in Denton. Play them again, we should beat them. Rice, they're terrible this season. We should beat them. So, you know, you look at our division, but Southern Miss is probably clearly better than us. Louisiana Tech, clearly better than us. Those are the only two teams, right? Should at least get 3 wins.
That I'm looking at, yeah, I think so. Yeah, and we just need to be competitive. We need to, I mean, why isn't UTEP our rival? It's pretty much the same storyline as with UTSA. But
because they're basically in the mountains. You can't talk to anybody in the mountains, man.
But yeah, we should be competitive, and we should win most of those. On paper, we're supposed to be able to win all these games if we bring in the right guy. One guy that I'm excited for next year will be LeMasters. The other players were ranting and raving about him over the offseason. So I'd like to see what he brings in the defensive back position.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. If we just summate this a little bit, and we're going to do probably another podcast around signing day and talk more about the future here. And I'm going to write a post. I've been enjoying my holidays. Holiday time. Holiday. All right. Yeah, so I'm going to do kind of season recap. I don't know how in depth. I'm just, a lot of the stuff I said here, you're going to hear that there. Maybe a little bit more thought. Like, let me look at this depth chart, try to see some things. There was a lot to like about this season. It surpassed most everyone's expectations, and except mine, I guess, because I picked 7 wins. I just thought maybe they'd beat UTSA and SMU. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot to like about this team. The offense wasn't as good as we thought it would be, but it was better than it was last season. And that's a step up. The defense was better than it was last season and probably the strength of the team for the time being, for like 3 games there. Then it kind of fell apart. And that's fine. These things happen. I think the team's on the right track. I think the program and the athletic department is on the right track. And that's good. It feels good. Rand Baker sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And if you paid attention to North Texas football at any time in the last 10, 15 years, you might have had some questions like, what are they doing over there? What are they doing? So if Rand Baker is just replacement level athletic director good, I think that's an improvement over where we at. You know what I mean?
For sure, yeah.
So, but I don't know. I mean, what's the timeline of improvement here? Like for the program as a whole? You know what I mean? Is it Western Kentucky, who's clearly the class of the conference now? They've had a good program. They've had a good football team for like 30 years now, though. Is it Middle Tennessee?
It's pretty subjective. I mean, some people would say it should be 1 year. It should be 2 years. You know, how long should a coach get? and, you know, I'm saying three years. Let's see what we got. You know, see, are there any signs to point that it's going to continue being bad, or is it going to continue being good, or is it going to keep going up, you know?
I think worst case scenario, if we saw a team that averaged, let's go ahead and say 32 points a game, right? I think this year it was like 24. We averaged 31 points a game. And something comparable on defense, and we end up 5-7 again. I think it'll be fine. I know we kind of talked about this. As long as we're competitive, as long as there's improvement, because the first recruiting class was like a half class. This is the first full class. So after next year, we'll see 2 full classes and a half class from Seth Luttrell. We'll see what kind of coach he is. I think he did a good job getting everybody to play hard. And, you know, for this team, a lot of guys on the team that you kind of see them, they gave up in the McCartney final year. They didn't do that this season. Some of that's the natural first year. We're going to play hard. But, you know, it's still part of coaching, getting them to play hard. I like some of the changes they made in-game, you know, from game to game. You know, famously, the Army, let's go to the pistol formation, get a better angle on his outside zone. 150-something yards, right? You gift that. What else? I saw some good play call in the Army game, just not the greatest execution. That's the next step. So I think Graham Harrell is a good enough offensive coach here. I think we could see some good things from him in the future. Eckler, obviously, everybody loves him. I don't know. What do you think? What's your grade for the coaches?
I mean, they maximized their potential. They did a great job in squeezing out 5 wins with the talent that we had. You know, I think the best grade I'm going to give will be whoever coaches the defensive backs, or at least the scheme towards Reffitt and Eckler. I think Reffitt brought it in for scheming the defensive backs to be so aggressive. You know, putting them one-on-one on the edges and winning a lot of those battles. So I think the Coach of the Year award for me would go to Reffitt and Eckler.
Yeah, and Reffitt coaches the backs. He's a secondary guy now. And was it Brown? The guy that used to play for Reffitt?
Nate Brown, yeah.
I mean, I would not disagree with that. They won. Nate Brooks intercepted the ball to win the game, right, against Southern Miss. So, good times there. They didn't tackle so well against UTEP, so. Areas of improvement, ladies and gentlemen. I feel good about North Texas football this season. It was entertaining. I had fun. We went to a bowl game. And that's, I mean, for a program at our level, that's about as good as it gets. Unless we win a conference championship game. I don't know. Good things are in store for this program, I think. And I'm excited about it. I'm definitely ending this season on a higher note than I was the end of last season. January 6, 2016, if you talk to me, I'm like, oh, well, we'll see. I don't know. Hopefully he's good. You know what I mean? Now I'm like,
we win one game.
Yeah, I was looking at it like, yeah, we're going to win one or two games. It's going to be a lot of losses, a lot of terribleness. Five wins, and even though it was against the dregs, I mean, Rice was terrible. You know what I mean? Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, we played a lot of bad teams. But, yeah, before the start of the season, I hoped that it would be a fun season. That way, for 2017, we'd actually see some good football. And so far, I mean, 2016 turned out to be pretty fun.
Yeah. So I guess to re-answer for the third time the question, like, what does success look like next season? At least as much fun as we had this one. A note about basketball, I think that's the next area of improvement in terms of athletics here. But hey,
yeah,
the soccer team's still good.
At least they're soccer. We're a soccer school. That's what we are.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, I know this is late, like whatever percent we've lost, like 40%, 50% of the listenership here. What I want to do, I want to put together, and I'm kind of aping the idea that I can't think of his name right now. Mark does on Gumming Green Board. Does the Gumming Green Basketball Classic. I played in that like four times. I want to do something for soccer, and I want it to benefit the Mean Green women's soccer team. And you're like, well, they don't. I mean, we can kick them a few bucks. Also, just a way of kind of bringing attention to the soccer team. So if you're interested at all, and I've tweeted this out, this is the second time I'm doing it. If you're interested at all, let me know. We can get together and do something. My idea is essentially, and we can talk to it again if you have some better ideas. My idea is essentially to just basically play a game, 11v11, probably do a co-ed so that we can maybe get a former player or two. Maybe not, we don't need, I don't know, some people were saying, we don't need them like to be ringers out here and just running circles around us. But, you know, whatever. Whatever we can get, we'll take what we can get. Probably do it, we'll do it up. I think the part of the fun is kind of making it almost like a little fantasy game, right? You get to pretend like you're, really actually a soccer player, not just a regular guy.
As long as they're on my team, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing will be fun. And if we get, you know, ideally we play, you know, 90-minute game, unlimited subs, because everybody's going to be dead. We don't need to kill anybody out there in the August heat or something. But we'll try to get on the best field that we can, and we'll see about scholarships. I mean, not scholarships, sponsorships, this, that, and the other. But I want to get, we need people, you know, we need people out there to go do it. I know Mark kind of does the auction stuff. I don't know if I want to do it that way, because I feel like it's like managing two different things at the same time. We'll see. I just wanted to get it together. And if at the very least, all we do is just, you know, break even, because everybody just gets together and plays a pickup soccer game, and we say, hey, man, aren't the soccer team, aren't they really good? If that's all we do, then that would be a success. That would be fine. And then we can figure out, learn from our mistakes, and improve next year, right? But we make a couple bucks, kick it over to them as a small little token. Say, hey, thanks. Thanks for winning all those conference championships. And let's go watch a game or something. I know my wife is excited to play. So there we go. Let me know if you're interested. Thanks for listening. Al, do you have any anything to say as we wrap this up?
It was nice remembering how fun this season was, even though we skidded at the end, it was still fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. Thanks, Seth.
I'm doing the finger guns here.
Yeah, finger guns at you, Seth. Hey, hey. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. Again, you can subscribe to the site, to the podcast. All those things, please let us know. We appreciate the feedback in any form that you give it. It helps us improve the show, and it lets us know that we're not alone in this universe. You know what I mean? It's like you're giving a radio beacon. It's like aliens, something like that. Even if you just give me a little Morse code, I'll figure it out. I got a whole team over here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again. We're done.
Just kidding, practice, by the way. He's kind of built more like a truck. Thick legs, thick arms. He had dumps like a truck. Guys like, what? Baby, move your butt. I think I'm singing again. She had dumps like a truck.